Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mdiwa Gabaza, and for today, we are talking about sustainable solutions to some of the biggest problems and challenges that Africa has. And we are live at MTN. They've just finished their Pachi Panda challenge. It incorporated a workshop as well as, I'm going to call it, a pitching competition. And so that is Pachi Panda Africa, and today we're going to be talking with two entrepreneurs. That's what I'm, you know, going to call them, and they are the ones that were placed second and third, you know, overall for today's competition. Joining me is Olabisi Emmanuel, who is from Nigeria, from an organization called SusFlow Reusable. And then we're also joined by Jean Blaise Serra, who is from Cameroon, and he's his project is called Y-School. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Well, Olabisi, I'm going to start with you. Maybe you could give us the elevator. Let's start with the elevator pitch for SusFlow Reusable.
Okay. Basically, SusFlow Reusable is a reusable menstrual products company where we have three major reusable menstrual products, which is the reusable pads, reusable panties, and the period cups. Right, our solution is targeted towards girls in underserved communities and also women who have been victimized by the bulky and rash that comes with the disposable alternatives. So we're providing them with healthy alternatives that doesn't pollute the landfill, which is that we're managing waste that comes, that is generated by disposable menstrual product, and also we're reducing chemical interaction with these women, thereby promoting menstrual education and tackling period poverty in Nigeria.
All right, cool. We're going to come back to just to get into the nitty-gritties, but maybe we can just give Jean Blaise an opportunity. Just give us what's the elevator pitch on Y-School.
Y-School is an innovative project pioneered by the Wise Energy to address the problem of limited access to healthcare delivery in Cameroon by providing solar-powered refrigeration systems that extend the shelf life of temperature-sensitive drugs from a single day to over 365 days. This ensures continuous access to vital medications for communities without access to electricity. Y-School is equipped with Internet of Things sensors that ensures remote tracking of temperatures, humidity, and energy consumption, enabling local healthcare providers to save up to 50% in healthcare costs and 80% in energy costs. Yeah, this unit is further complemented by Wise App, which is a telemedicine platform that bridges the healthcare gap by linking our doctors with their patients, easing remote consultations and follow-up. We envision providing quality access to quality healthcare for 1 million Cameroonians by the year 2030 and offsetting 2,200 metric tons of carbon dioxide per annum.
You guys have both chosen, you know, some of the really big issues. And maybe as a follow-up first to you, Jean Blaise, is to say, why did you decide that, you know, specifically the storage piece, you know, for the medicine was something that you wanted to attack? Was that a problem you had always seen, or was it something that you saw whilst you were operating the telemedicine platform?
The motivation to actually create Y-School was inspired by my mom's story. That is, she had an accident that is in October 2023. We rushed her to the hospital, but the hospital was out of vital medications due to power outages. We had to travel several miles to get drugs to actually save her life. An untimely delivery of drugs and power outages occurring during her surgery actually caused her to be handicapped till dead. Yeah, and that was actually a preventable incident, but untimely delivery of vaccines was just the main cause that actually crippled her. So we are really certain that a lot of people face similar problems in rural communities in Cameroon, and the Cameroon Ministry of Water and Energy have reported that 9,000 communities in Cameroon out of 13,104 do not have access to electricity.
Yeah.
And limited access to electricity limits the ability of healthcare providers to provide these vital medications to patients, such as antibiotics, insulins, and vaccines. They require constant refrigeration of 2 to 8 degrees Celsius to maintain their potency and safety. And when exposed to higher or lower temperature, they get bad and even become harmful to patients. And the current solutions for solving this problem in Cameroon, such as diesel generators, are not only very, very expensive, but they're also environmentally unfriendly. So this has actually motivated me to come up with Wise School to actually solve this problem by providing sustainable storage for healthcare resources and bridging the healthcare gap by connecting patients with doctors.
That's actually a very powerful, you know, motivation that you've just given there. And one of the, I'm going to call it one of the most sobering things about what you've just described is the fact that the science, the technology that we celebrate as human beings, to say, oh, we're so advanced, you know, from 100 years ago, 200 years ago, whatever it is, it's only as useful as it is accessible to people, right? You can have the best medicine, but if it's in an environment where your medicine is going to go bad, or your medicine is, you know, people aren't going to get timely access to the medicine, like what you said, then it becomes, you almost wonder, like, was it really that much of an advancement, or were we, you know, should we have gone and solved some of these other things before? So it's a very strong motivation, and it sounds like a great solution that you've come up with. Olubisi, your entry into reusable, you know, sanitary work.
Okay, so personally,
yeah,
I stopped using pads when I was around like 18. That was when I left home, yeah, for university. I'd always endured using pads all my life since when I started my period. And that was because the menstrual talk, information, there's this taboo around it, so you don't have this conversation. But every month on month, I had rashes. I was dealing with period rash. It wasn't just, my body wasn't taking it, but I didn't have a choice. I had to manage my periods, right? So I kept using these things because there was no choice and there was no information available out there. So when I left home, and then I think I talked to a friend or two, and they were like, oh, they also have the same issue, right? And I'm like, okay, so this is how we're just going to be battling this thing that comes out every month and you just have to deal with it all your life, yeah? And then I found out about tampons, right? And that became like a better alternative because it wasn't interacting with my skin, yeah? And then I was in a session, it was in a training session in Lagos, Nigeria, and it was when there was this so much buzz around climate issue, sustainability and all of that. And I believe that the person that mentioned it even mentioned it so passively of how plastics ends on the landfill stays on the landfill for over 500 years, right? And then she mentioned something around sanitary products, right? And that was how my research began. This was in 2022. And I started research. I have a background in fashion, right? So I started researching disposable period products, and I figured out that these things were plastic. So it was the same thing with the plastic bottle that you have. So it was just remolded with the help of chemicals. And then I figured out that these chemicals are the things that were causing rashes for me and all of those things, right? Yeah. Also, a part of me, I do a lot of education when it comes to young girls. Like, I teach young girls in my community. And I knew the story that was around period poverty. I knew that it was an issue for some families, for girls. They wouldn't be able to go to schools during their period. And all of it. So those were like two different issues that I was aware of. And then this information made me to do a lot of research around it, right? And because I had a background in fashion, I tested out the reusable pads, right? Which is, I ordered for the materials, and then I made myself a reusable pad, and it felt like the best thing since sliced bread. And then I made it for my team, and then they were like, "Madam, what is this?" And they used it, and they felt the same level of comfort, right? Yeah. And the research grew, and then we got a bit of funding to be able to do like a pilot testing, and it became something that. That was how I figured out that it was through that testing that I figured out that, okay, apart from the fact that we're solving this chemical interaction, this rash and the discomfort that we feel, this is also a problem solution, a solution to period poverty. And then we decided to tie these two things together in that the product would solve period poverty because it is not a one-time use, disposable, you use it once and you discard it. Reusables are reusable for up to 1 year. We have product that are reusable for up to 1 year. and we have products that are reusable for up to 5 years, meaning that you're saving cost in a long time. You know the exact thing that's going into your body because they are made of chemical-free material, no toxins, no chemicals. So it is good for your body, it's good for the planet, and it's good for your health. So yeah. Okay.
One of the most interesting things and one of the things that strikes me about the two solutions that you guys have come up with is the fact that Africa is not one country, mm-hmm. right? As I think, you know, some people might think. It's not one country. But there are common problems in a number of, you know, different countries. So, for example, the sanitary issue that you're talking about, we've seen that. And especially period poverty, we've seen that being highlighted in a number of different countries. You know, access to, you know, the medical issue that we're talking about. So what I'm curious to know is, when you guys enter the space, you're operating in two different countries. So you give me your context from where you are. But when you enter the space, what are you seeing inside the space, right? And what I'm asking is, these are problems that have existed for a long time, right? Is anyone else doing what you're doing? Have you joined a bunch of people that are also trying to solve this? Are there big companies, you know, that are dominating the space? Like, what are you guys seeing? We'll start with you,
Olisa. Okay. So what I basically see
since when we started this is the fact that there's a lot of resistance to change, okay. right? We know, I think as Africans, we're used to saying, oh, this is a problem, this is a problem, this is a problem. And we're not always looking at the change. And the fact that the change is going to require something from you, right? For you to see change, there has to be, you can't do the same thing the same way and you expect a different result, right? So there's a lot of, there's this idea that, oh, the shame part of periods now, like, oh, how would I interact with my period product, right? We're used to trashing it. That looked like, you know, the media positioned period care as something that, we left dealing with it years ago. And now because we're woke, we're in a generation whereby everything is just, so I don't even want to deal with it. And the media has positioned it as something that you should not deal with it, right? Forgetting that it's a bigger part of your adult life. Your reproductive life is like your fifth vital sign, like I've been saying. So it's been that much of a big deal. Now, the system generally is like people will tell me that, oh, multinationals will come and they will fight because this is something that they've been milking over the years, intentionally making period products, something that you know that it means that you've signed the moment you start using a disposable product. You've signed to give them your money every year till you enter menopause. But now I'm saying that give me this amount of money and save your money for the next 1, 2, or 5 years, right? So people ask me things like, oh, so how does the organization want to make money? Why are you not making it? And it's like, it's a social enterprise, well, for profit. But the biggest part is the fact that we don't want women to continue to interact with these chemicals. Not because profit is not a thing, but because we're big when it comes to the life of a woman, right? Also, we're big when it comes to period poverty, like, right? Also, the fact that girls can't go to school because of this issue, also because of the fact that there's a lot of misconception, misinformation that's flying around when it comes to period products. It's not, the period blood is not dirty. So there's a lot of advocacy and awareness that we're having to do because of the resistance that is in the market. But we have, with the development of eco-conscious people now, right? People are already looking green. They want less toxins in their, the way we're talking about food, reducing chemicals. So people naturally, we have some people that are that aware, that are naturally attracted towards what we do, and those are the people that we sell to. Also, a lot of NGOs, like a partnership that we called in December, we called it Gift the Last Years, Not Ours. Meaning that for organizations, multinationals that do CSR projects, instead of you saying a lot of them do period gifts, period care products, but you're giving them products that are just going to last days. Why not give them gifts the last years, not ours? And we had a few company buy into this, and it was also another way for them to be able to reduce their carbon footprint for their for their emission reduction and all of those things. So it's actually a beautiful one since we've been in the space, and we're looking forward to so many much more that's coming.
Jean Blaise, your take on that one?
Yeah, all right. Thank you so much. The Cameroon, let me say, we have actually having two problems: the telemedicine platform and the cool storage units. Yeah, so there are, similar companies have been providing, similar solutions to Y School. Yeah, one of them is actually Waspito. It's a telemedicine platform in Cameroon that have raised over $6 million in funding. And this telemedicine platform actually is bridging the healthcare gap in Cameroon, but it fails to address a critical problem, which is the problem of drug spoilage in rural communities. And that's where Y School now fits in. We actually extend the shelf life of drugs, ensure continuous access to vital medications, while also still providing the telemedicine platform. That's what makes us stand out.
Yeah.
And then the primary solutions used by people in Cameroon include diesel generators for power. And these diesel generators are very, very expensive and also environmentally unfriendly. For instance, you cannot light a diesel generator continuously for 1 week, but the solar power can power you continuously for 5 years, depending on the amount of battery storage you actually explore. So that's the current market situation in Cameroon. And also, cool storage have been deployed in other sectors like agriculture, but so far I've not seen anyone deploy it in health. So it's actually a very, very innovative solution for me. Yeah, and I've collaborated with a lot of people like Moses, who's actually the winner, on the first place winner. He works a lot with me, and we almost live in the same quarter in Cameroon. So while he's working on his cool storage for agriculture, I'm working on my cool storage for health, and we collaborate together. And we grow together because it's a shared vision. So I actually don't see myself just as a winner in this project. I just see myself as, bringing a shared vision that a lot of people share together with me. And I believe that working together will create even a greater impact.
When you are in that space, right, who are you, the cold storage solution and the solar power, who are you actually selling to? Are you selling to, a person, a family, a village, how is it working?
All right, for the cool storage unit, we partner with healthcare providers.
Okay.
These healthcare providers include private hospitals and public hospitals in rural communities. The simple truth is that both of them, since they're located in that area, don't have access to electricity. So we partner with them, and then now we provide them with a customizable cool storage unit that can provide their energy needs and a sustainable storage for their drugs. So it's not as if it's a standard solution, it is actually a flexible solution that can be customized to meet the need of any health center depending on their energy needs. So that's how we operate. We will partner with health centers and healthcare providers in rural communities.
Okay. Now, it makes sense, because the reason I asked that question is because I find that distribution, let's just call it that, distribution tends to be one of the biggest stumbling blocks a lot of the time for people that are trying to come up with, local solutions. And it's one of the reasons why a lot of your established players just don't get into certain markets, because they're like, hey, this is just too difficult. Whether it's infrastructure like roads, electricity, all of that stuff, access, they just like, let me not even get involved. We'll just stick to, urban areas, for example, and, just do it from there. So what I would say, I'm also keen to get your sense on the distribution question. Are you engaging individually with each girl, with each woman, to say this is something that you could use, or are you also partnering with certain groups, so that you can, yes.
All right. So right now, what we do is that we're leveraging a lot of social media, right? And specifically, our TikTok is on fire, right? we're able to access millions. Like, our reach is crazy on TikTok, right? And that's because we use a lot of education, information, materials, right? Those are the things that we post. So we're able to reach millions of people, right? But when it comes to access, like ensuring that these products get to them, like, we have orders every day from South Africa, from Ghana, from Cameroon, and people saying, I want this. But the distribution channel is not as easy, like you said, right? Because you want one product, how do we get one product of, say, about $3 to you in this place, right? And what we've decided to do right now, what we concluded with the team, was that we're going to have like a point of sale, like a point of contact person in this African countries that we can store the products with, right? And then in any country, say we have one person in South Africa, if there's an order in South Africa, there's a point of pickup in South Africa for that person, right? And also for us, we partner with a lot of CSR organizations, which is private sector, right? Because they do more of these things, so we're able to sell in large quantities to them, right? Also, we partner when it comes to education and advocacy training. So we go to schools in rural areas. So let's say that MTN, for example, say that, oh, we want to have an initiative for girls in underserved community. So we go there, we train these girls on menstrual health. We give them products that, of course, the organization has bought in large quantities at a discounted rate from us. So we partner with these people. Also in-house, we do what we call the Pad for Pad initiative, which is that for every 4 packs that we sell, we give one to a girl child. So at the end of the month, we take, okay, what are the numbers of the pad that we sell? We bring out the numbers of the products that are for the girl on this girl child in the South community, and we just pick a school. So every month we pick different school. We go there, give them products, and then we do advocacy, training them on menstrual care, informations and all of the things. Yeah, so also another thing that we do when it comes to partnering or reaching out is the fact that we collaborate with, say, organizations that are fighting the exact thing with us, which is period poverty. So we go with them, and then we're able to partner and then together work together to fight whatever, say, we want to tackle period poverty in the rural area in Abeokuta. We do those things together with them, and then we go to the community, train the women on even how to make these pads, right, and how to just be a solution to their local communities.
Right, cool. Understood on the, you know, distribution front. Last two things, you know, for both of you. Firstly, and I'm just going to throw it out, you guys can, you know, whoever wants to go first, is what's the value of platforms like, you know, Pachi Panda? And is it the only such platform that you've been in, that you've been involved in?
Okay, so let me go first. So for me, Pachi Panda was like a validation that we needed when we did the one in Nigeria, right? So it gave us the fact that a lot of people were able to relate. It was like a very homely solution that was, it was like a, the way we talk about food, right? It's a necessity,
yeah,
right? And we have a lot of people facing the challenge. So it was a validation that we needed to say that, okay, we're doing something great, right? And it also brought about the fact that, so if we say that, it brought about the range in the products that we had.
Yeah.
So to suit different economic lifestyle, right? We have women that don't want the pads, they want the pants. It's more, it's easier, it's more comfortable, or you even now want the cup. Right, that's like the best of the products, right? But the price ranges are different, so we're able to cut across different market segments, right? So
no, you can again. You can not for this, you can take a beat because we can, okay, we can cut it out.
Okay.
But my question had been what do you call this? The value of platforms like Pachi Panda.
Yeah.
And have you been involved in
others? Okay, yeah. So Pachi Panda gave us that validation. Another organization that we've been able to do an incubation with is the Orange Corners. I don't know if Orange Corners Nigeria. It's also a global platform. We did a 6-month incubation. We were able to get some level of funding too that helped us. It was that funding. We're also on TEF, 2024 Tony Elumelu Foundation. So those fundings were the ones that we used to launch the pants and the cups that we just launched at the beginning of this month that is going into the market. So these platforms are really important, right? They help you get access to funding that can actually help your business scale, even if it is starting from your idea. Because when we entered Pachi Panda, we didn't have a MVP, right?
Okay.
It was the funds that we had, that we got from Pachi Panda, that we used to source our materials And that was what we used for our pre-order sale, which was that we were able to get materials in bulk to produce, right? It was this production now that we're able to take to the Orange Corners and say, we have this product, right? And then Orange Corners also helped us to be able to say, okay, this product is good. How about other women that don't want the pad, the alternative superior care product? And then we grew to the other two products that we have. So these platforms are really important. And I feel like countries, organizations like MTN can begin to invest in entrepreneurs that have great ideas. So it's a good one.
All right. Makes sense. Sean, please.
Thank you so much. Regarding platforms, I would like to, let me say, categorize them into three. There are some platforms that are mainly for exposure. There are some that provide financial support, like Patchypanda as well.
Yeah.
And there are some that are just like an accelerator.
Okay.
So I've actually had the opportunity of participating in a few of these platforms. Like this year, we were one of the 35 selected delegates from over 57,000 applications to participate in the IRENA Youth Summit.
57,000?
Yeah.
Wow.
IRENA Youth Summit in Abu Dhabi this year.
Yeah.
She's a fully funded tribe. We contributed enormously to clean energy access through policy. And also, we are one of the 52 young global changers selected this year by Global Initiatives in Germany from over 600 applications. And we have also, last year we had the top 15 project in Cameroon under Total Energy Startup of the Year Awards. We actually got that prize. And the other one didn't come with funding, because at that time we didn't really implement the solution. And most of the, programs we went in, we are kicked out simply because we had an idea. And it's a very, very bad, idea for young startups. Because if someone don't actually give you cash, how do you get started? A lot of people don't get to, fund ideas, but some ideas are actually worth a lot of money, which we face difficulties and we have to raise funds ourselves to create our own prototype before we actually started getting funding. Yeah, so Patchypanda is actually one of the very, very, flexible platforms that provide both the mentorship, the financial resources, and the exposure, all of this into one. And it's actually amazing. And when we won the prize, they gave us our money just in 2 days, which is actually something so cool for an organization, because we always need to have our cash. And then also flying us to South Africa is something that's really great. I've never been to South Africa before. So flying to South Africa is actually a very, very great way of adding to my resume and also exploring other parts of Africa and other parts of the world. So I believe that this exposure is not only for leisure, but I've gotten to connect with a lot of people, such as the second prize winner from Nigeria, Emmanuel, whose product on, menstrual health aligns with, one of my mentees who I work with. Her product is also is on, menstrual hygiene, and she actually had a right scholarship to study in the US this year just because of that particular project. So this is a networking platform, not only for my solution, but also to learn and explore other solutions. Thank you so much.
That's actually quite incredible, because as you can imagine, I talk to a lot of founders, I talk to a lot of business people, and sometimes one of the criticisms, because people have different names, you know, they're pitching competitions, they're accelerators, they're incubators, they're venture builders, you know, there's conferences, there's all of these different platforms that are there. And sometimes, especially in South Africa, one of the criticisms is that the real benefit doesn't actually accrue to the business people, to the small business owner, to the entrepreneurs. It's just money that ends up just floating up
in the incubation hubs.
Yes.
Very right.
So I was very interested to know from someone in another part of the continent if you're experiencing similar issues. It sounds like you've seen it.
Absolutely. There are a lot of incubation programs that get, they can get about $500 million to actually accelerate startups in a given country. But you see that at the end of the accelerator, they might be giving them just about $2,000, which is something that's really, really bad for young startups. So MCN, the Patchypanda Challenge is actually, very, very different, because you know that it's an aspect of corporate social responsibility from MTN, and also with the support from the partner organizations. So let me say, we have built this aspect at the WISE, that's my organization, of self-reliance. We look at donations, grants, and awards as a secondary source of income, not as our primary source of income. Because when they don't come, we have to keep on delivering what we are delivering, because before the money, our main aim is to impact the community. So when we're impacting the community, the money start coming. But now, a lot of young innovators, so they go to look but for money, not going to create solutions that change the community, and that's where the problem comes. And when you go with that mindset of looking only for the money, it becomes very, very tough. Because you don't actually, when the money doesn't come, you give up. And that's why you say that just about 5% of startups in Africa succeed after 3 years or continue after 3 years. 95% close down just because you go with the aim of making money, not with a solution to address community problems. And money only comes when you're addressing the problem.
Yeah.
So I believe a lot of people should adopt the mindset of maybe looking for sustainable solutions, not just looking about money.
I like that very much. It aligns with some with a thought that I've always had, that we can like or hate them, but a lot of the big people, whether we're gonna call them the billionaires, etc., they are impacting lots of lives, right? Mm-hmm. Whether we like it or not, they are, right? In whatever they do. And to your point, when you're addressing a particular need or issue, the money tends to follow. So, ending off, I wanted to get an idea of, because my understanding around Pachipanda is that it's, you know, youth focused around the solutions, but we have someone from Nigeria, we have someone from Cameroon. What is the youth culture like in your country around solutions? Are young people coming up with solutions? Is that the culture, that people are seeing things and are just running around hustling, doing things? Or is it maybe a more passive culture where people are waiting, you know, for a messiah to come and save them? Is it entrepreneurial? Is it like, yeah, what's the culture like?
So the thing is that, you know, Nigerians,
yes,
right?
That's right.
Nigerians are like the most hardworking and dogged set of people, right? The youths are very entrepreneurial. Nobody's waiting for anybody because we don't even have anybody that's coming to give us anything, funny enough. So, right, you have to path this way for yourself, right? We have a lot of business people in Nigeria, young ones at that. Right? Everybody's coming with a solution, and there's nothing like... The way Nigeria is really big, yeah, so there's nothing like we can be like 10 people doing the same thing in the same community, and we have our target customers and everybody's selling, right? Even to the smallest type of businesses, people are fending for themselves, people are creating solutions even within their community. Like I tell people that your solution doesn't have to be global as long as you're meeting a need. The only thing is there a need? Can you meet it? Do you have the resources to meet it? You have a business. Right, and start solving the problem. If it's going to go global, fine. If it's just going to be within your community, that's fine. There's people that are benefiting from it. So Nigerians don't wait for anything. Don't wait for anyone. The younger ones, the youths in the country are, like, you see people applying for programs, accelerators, incubations in Lagos, all the way from Ghana. I say Ghana, all the way from Abuja. They will fund themselves to the accelerator program. They will find accommodation. They are going to stay in that maybe 3 weeks, you know, the way this, and they will do it. Not because they want to win all the time. Of course, everybody comes with the mindset to win, but because they want to network. They want to know what is happening. They want to hear the next information that's going to help their business. Nigerians go all out. And I'm so proud. Like, I'm always proud. I just wish that our government see these things and they are able to just make things, if it's access, if it's sustainable supply chain, if it is the Internet of Things, if it is the resources available, you know, things that will just make life easy for entrepreneurs and just make them feel like, oh, yes, I'm doing something. This is great. I have a little bit of support from the government through access to these things, but it still is what it is. We're always looking for solutions and we're always bringing out. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think just to contribute to what Emmanuel said, in all of these programs I've participated in, there's no program I've gone to without in Nigeria.
let me say, since my first program in Lebanon in 2023, I met a Nigerian who I'm seeing touch with her till today. We share a lot of solutions. Even like my recent program, the Timbuktu program in Kenya, was there with a lot of Nigeria was highly represented. Like the 18 Nigerians out of the 40 selected finalists for the program. And when I was in Abu Dhabi, I met a Nigerian there from Kaduna State. And, I mean, all of these programs have met a lot of Nigerians. But coming now to Cameroon, my country, it is very complicated because I think at times it stems from the education, because a lot of people in Cameroon study with the main aim of pleasing their parents, not studying to solve a problem. Mm-hmm. And some of them study to get employed by the government. That is that a lot of people pay an infant bribe to get to the government sector, to get a matricule, because they are not realized purpose. I believe the youths are not lazy, it's just orientation. Mm-hmm. If youths are oriented to know that they are actually here on a mission, on a purpose, they identify that purpose and start working on it. But when you actually train them to become civil servants, everybody wants to go to that sector simply because they don't have a purpose. Mm-hmm. And when you spend your life like working on a purpose, on someone else's purpose, you forgo your own mission.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you have not achieved anything on earth. I believe each and everyone has a purpose, but we need orientation. Like Cameroonians need a lot of exposure. Mm-hmm. They need a lot of exposure. And when the few that have been exposed, they actually do great at international stages.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to not only succeeding, but success is collective.
Mm-hmm.
Like we say, coming together is the beginning, working together is progress. Mm-hmm. I mean, staying together is progress, and working together is success. I believe success will only come when I'm not the only one coming to South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And winning, when Moses is not the only one, but other Cameroonians keep on coming to the platform and winning. Going to other platforms and winning.
And I believe
that's where collaboration comes in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not blaming those up at the position. I'm not blaming those down, but it's actually a collective effort.
Yeah.
A lot of people that want to come up at times, and like in my country, you might see that someone already going to start blaming the government, that the government is not doing this or that. But now one thing I know that is that every government wants progress. And if you're working on a solution that's very, very painful, they'll be willing to support you.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to collaborate. Let the aspect of collaboration, not competition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I just want to say, not only Cameroonian youth, but I mean, African youth, you have similar problems. Collaboration is very, very key, and exposure as well. Let's share opportunities.
Yeah.
Let's share opportunities.
Yeah.
I see if I don't apply, and I share with her, and she applies and get in, I've got in.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people too are very, very stingy with those opportunities. Like they see that if they share with this person they apply and get in. And I mean, that mindset is really bad and it kills a lot of endeavors.
Yeah.
So I believe let's collaborate, let's share, and let's grow together. Together we can make Africa great.
100%.
Mm.
Collaboration and not competition. On that note, that's where we end off what has been a really great discussion. Thank you so much to my guest, Jean Blaise, as well as Olabisi around what's happening in the space. There are various solutions, and I think it's quite rich, you know, having a discussion with people, you know, from different backgrounds, different countries that are attacking different problems. But, you know, as they're talking, you can almost also see that there are certain similarities in terms of some of the fights that have to be done to actually make progress, to actually, move the needle and actually make a difference. One of the things that I think, strikes me is the conviction that you hear from both these people around the issues that they're trying to solve for. And I really like, what Jean Blaise said about, if you really work on the problem, the money,
will come.
Yeah, the money will come. So I think on that point, that's where we're going to end off. It has really been a great discussion. Thank you so much, Olabisi. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much
for having us.
It's been a pleasure.
It was a good time.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So, from myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.